The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to St. Margaret's. Sometimes when I'm preparing a sermon, it's helpful to ask other clergy what they're planning to say, what ideas they've had for a day like Christ the King Sunday, if you're not entirely sure what to talk about. And sometimes it's more helpful to ask people who are not clergy, who in fact are kind of far removed from it. This weekend, my sister is in town with her family. She's got her husband with her and her two kids. They'll be with us at 10 o'clock. And she was asking me, "Okay, so what's going on in church Sunday?" And I said, "Well, it's Christ the King Sunday." And in the same way that in our gospel today, Pilate, after hearing Jesus talk about truth, turned to Jesus and simply said, "What is truth?" My sister said to me, "What is Christ the King Sunday?" Well, it's a good question. And it's one that I had not intended to answer. Let me back up a little bit then before I talk about what I think Christ the King Sunday might mean and just tell you what it is in the first place. I dare say there may be people in this very room who are actually older than Christ the King Sunday. We think of it sometimes, I think I've received the tradition of the church as if it always existed, but Christ the King Sunday was actually created by Pope Pius XI in the year 1925, and it was first observed in 1926. Originally, it was on the last Sunday of October, the Sunday right before All Saints' Day, and it was moved later on by Pope Paul VI, and part of the implementation of the reforms of Vatican II. But it was a Roman Catholic observance and a Roman Catholic doctrine that was intended by Pius XI to counter a growing secularism and a growing nationalism in the culture of the time. The idea was to say firmly on behalf of the church that Christ is not someone who is a life coach or someone that we pull off the shelf to get good advice from when things are easy. Rather, Christ has dominion over our entire lives, over all of reality, over the entire universe. Just this morning I was reading an article on CNN about how evangelicals in Iowa are struggling, as I think many people are, with the question of trying to balance their faith and the demands of their faith and what they're taught in Scripture about our responsibility to our neighbors against the need for safety as it pertains to Syrian refugees. And while I do not suggest that there's a simple or simplistic, obvious answer to that question, I do suggest that Pius XI may have been onto something when he considered the idea that we would look at the gospel and say, "Well, that's all very nice, When we're done dealing with the real work, the big boy table issues, then we'll think about the things of Christ. Whatever decision that we're led to on these and other issues, in fact, Christ is our King and demands that we understand all of the decisions that we make about our own lives and in our culture in the context of the gospel and of our responsibility as citizenships of the kingdom of God, citizens of the kingdom of God. This gospel reading that we heard this morning is, I'm sure you realize, comes from Jesus' final encounter with Pontius Pilate shortly before his crucifixion. It's a story that many of you are used to hearing. We hear it every year on Good Friday, this exchange where Pilate finally has to ask, what is truth? And it points to one of the things that I think is tricky in our Christian faith, just as there are a lot of paradoxes about the Christian faith, like, are we justified by faith or by works? You know, what's more important, to believe the right thing or to do the right thing? Is the doing of Christian acts the important thing, or is the right belief the important thing? And the answer, of course, is both. We don't earn our justification, but it is nonetheless important that we live into that justification. In the same way, we Episcopalians like to be kind of heady. And we say, many of us say, that the important thing is finding the truth, understanding what is the truth, and that we're not necessarily going to impose a lot of strict doctrines that say we already know, but rather that we are students, that we're disciples of truth. And yet, just yesterday, two days ago, I was in this space officiating a funeral, and we had the very familiar reading from the Gospel of John again, where Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know the way where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the very next line is, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I didn't say that next line because I believe it is true, but I also don't believe that it's always helpful in the context of a funeral where there are non-Christians there who would get stuck on this point. I believe that Jesus is, in fact, the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. I believe that it's important that we set our understanding of Jesus in the context of truth. So if you go back earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus said as an epilogue to his public ministry in John 12, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as judge. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. So the idea then is that this encounter later with Pontius Pilate begs the question, is Jesus really being judged for a capital offense? Or is Jesus' truth judging Pilate and judging the whole process and judging the world? We know that God's own word in the mouth of Jesus is the voice of God, is the voice of truth. It's what we know about the story of the Good Shepherd, that those who belong to Christ will hear that voice and follow. And in the confession of Peter, Peter makes a strong assertion to Jesus and says, you are the Messiah. But the more that we say about Jesus, the more that we limit what that truth is. So on this day, we move from parables that tell us what the kingdom of God is like to a story of judgment that brings us into the presence and person of this king himself. So what is our own location in this story? Is there some Pilate in us? Pilate himself was not a bad guy. He was a pragmatist. But insofar as he stood in the presence of truth itself and did not know it, Pilate was a child of darkness because he didn't listen to the voice that he was privileged to hear so directly. And like Pilate, we'll miss the boat if we're not just about avoiding death, but embracing life through the person of this unlikely king. God calls us to hear and to know his own royal voice. And as my colleague Penny Bridges says, it becomes important that we actually belong to that voice and belong to truth. Henry Nouwen tells the story in The Wounded Healer of how one day a fugitive came into a village to hide himself from soldiers. The people gave him shelter and refused to tell where he was when the soldiers came for him. But the soldiers threatened to burn the village and kill every man before dawn if the young man were not handed over to them. The people went to the minister and asked him what they should do. The minister went to his house and began reading his holy book in hopes of finding an answer. And in the early morning, his eyes fell on these words, "It is better that one man dies than that the whole people be lost." So the minister closed the book and called the soldiers to tell them where the boy was hidden. And after that, they led the fugitive away to be killed. And the people celebrated. But the minister did not join them. He withdrew to his room in deep sadness. That night, an angel came to him to ask what he had done. And he said, "I handed over the fugitive to the enemy." And the angel said, "But didn't you know that you have handed over the Messiah?" "How could I know?" the minister replied anxiously. And the angel answered, "If instead of relying on your book, you had visited this young man just once and looked into his eyes, you would have known." When Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" But he could not have looked him in the eyes and not realize that here was truth. Francis Bacon famously wrote, "What is truth?" said jesting Pilate, and would not stay for an answer. Karl Rahner explains, "Of course, Christ's kingship embraces more than we are told of in today's gospel. But Jesus is king precisely because he has come to bear witness to the truth. What truth, then, is meant here? We can only understand the verse if we realize exactly what St. John understands by truth. This Johannine truth has no plural and is not the same thing as truth in the sense of a set of propositions. It means the antithesis of the world. "For this I was born and have come into the world." What is this world? What is the world of St. John? And here he says we must be precise. It is not the world which provides a house for our life, which we like, where we feel at ease. The world in St. John is something different, whatever it may mean in other contexts. For him, the world is darkness that shuts God out, which will not receive the light. On this Christ the King Sunday, we are called to look into the eyes of truth, to gaze steadily at the light who has come into the world, the Word of God, the Son, and not to blink. Amen.